What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, doing that late night jam. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Let everybody know that we're live right now and we're doing our thing. We're going to chop it up like we always do. So y'all stay tuned and wait for some of that hot fire while we take that real quick commercial break, and I mean quick. We'll be right back after, ladies and gentlemen, these messages.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Check out straightblacklove.com. That is a dating site slash app dedicated to connecting straight black singles who are serious about finding somebody to build with. The platform is free to use, but it does have some premium features. The newest feature is an anti-catfishing feature, which allows the user to verify that they are the person in the pictures, and they will get a verification badge. So you need to connect with an empowerment mate right now at straightblacklove.com. Yo, are you single and ready to mingle? If you are a single 90s hip-hop lover, you need to check out the brand new dating app called Hood Love. Now, Hood Love is designed for singles just like you, where you can get your Mac on, you can get your freak on, you can get your date on, you can get your hookup on, or whatever you want to do with the opposite sex, make it happen. So go to Hood Love. It's available right now on Google Play and the App Store. Hood Love. Get your Mac on, get your freak on, get your date on right now. What's up, family? We're finally beginning to get on code for justice and economic empowerment, and now we gotta make our empowerment a lifestyle. So I introduce to you On Code Clothing. On Code Clothing is our thing, all black, everything, and fly. But make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and it's not for everyone. You gotta be grassroots aligned and in the know to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. So check us out now at OnCodeClothing.com. Sign up and save 10% and enjoy free shipping on most orders. Again, that's OnCodeClothing.com. Attention parents and teachers, are you looking for something that will educate and relate to our children? If so, you need to order the Gifted and Lit bundle today. Gifted and Lit, that's an educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. This bundle includes two DVDs, two CDs, a coloring book, and a workbook. Order your copies right now at giftedandlit.com. Again, that's giftedandlit.com. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com. Ladies, summer is almost here, and if you want to switch up and diversify your look, change your hair up a little bit, you can do that. That's why you need to go to main-ia.com. Now, main-ia.com offers 100% unprocessed Chinese virgin hair in natural color and Ling. Learn how to save on your order. Also, receive free music ebooks. Don't hesitate. Start today. Visit legendarymix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@legendarymix.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
Yo, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Yeah, we are back. We are back. Ooh. We are back. I wasn't going to leave y'all hanging. You know I got to get in there and make it pop for you. I just been so busy putting the finishing touches on HC5. You know, that's what it delayed me a little bit this week. But I'm here, man. I'm here. I'm ready. Locked and loaded for the family. And speaking of Hidden Colors, family, you can get your tickets for Hidden Colors 5 right now. Now, we're still adding a few more cities. There's still a couple of cities that we're working on. But you can get your tickets for Hidden Colors 5 now. This thing is definitely going to be sold out. That's not a question. So this whole thing just depends on who gets their tickets fast. Y'all don't start. I'm telling y'all, this film is a masterpiece. The last Hidden Colors was 2016, right? I think that was Hidden Colors 4. So this one has been marinating, man. This thing is a masterpiece. Everywhere. One night only, family. Thursday, August 1st this year. Thursday, August 1st. One night only in your city. This is a special event. That's a couple of months from now, family. It's going to be in Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Indianapolis, Minnesota, Boston. Now, in a couple of cities, there's going to be other special screenings. Now, in New York, there's going to be two screenings on Friday night, August 2nd at the SVA Theater. We're having two big screenings there. So the tickets are going to go on sale for that one in a couple of days. We're just tightening up everything. And we're working on the Magic Johnson Theater in Harlem for Thursday night, that Thursday as well. Now in LA, all my LA people, you guys, the Hollywood premiere, that one is going to be on Wednesday, July 31st. All my LA people, you guys will be the first people in the world to see the movie. You're going to see it in LA first. All my LA people, you're going to get it first. We're having the big Hollywood premiere. It is going to be star-studded. It is going to be popping. And you, ladies and gentlemen, are invited. Get your tickets now at HiddenColorsFilm.com. So again, in LA, you guys are going to see it on Wednesday, July 31st. The tickets are available now. Get your tickets now. And again, everybody go to HiddenColorsFilms.com, HiddenColorsFilm.com. Houston, we are still working on Houston. Yes, it's going to be in D.C. And also, the next week is going to be in the U.K. I'm going to actually be out there in the U.K. Some of these other cities, I might pop up in these other cities too. Some of these other cities, I might just pop up in these other cities. But like I said, L.A. is going to get it first. Real big Hollywood premiere, and you guys are going to be able to come on through, get your tickets, HiddenColorsFilm.com. And again, I'm going to be in the UK. Shout out to my dude Eric, the promoter out there. They're putting a big premiere out there in the UK, and me, and I think Brother Kaba is going to be out there. Brother Kaba Kamene, who's in the movie, spitting hot fire. I mean, the hot fire, this thing is just bubbling like lava in this movie, man. So again, this is the movie of the decade. You are not going to want to miss this. Just get, you already know it's going to be hot. I mean, damn. Y'all already know it's going to be hot. But I don't even have to say nothing. But it's going to be hot. We're working on the Bay Area. Shout out to the Bay. We're working on the Bay. We might have the Bay locked in by next week. So y'all stay tight with that, all my Bay people. Y'all hang tight. And again, we're working on Houston because a lot of folks in Houston are hitting us up. Detroit, we're trying to see what we can do with Detroit. We definitely got D.C. We got the theater in D.C. So again, just go to the site. Go to the site to see where you're at. We got Philadelphia. It's going to be in Philadelphia. Go to the site. It's going to be in Baltimore. It's going to be in a couple of theaters in Baltimore. Go to the site. What other cities? San Diego. Go to the site, hiddencolorsfilm.com. We're working on New Orleans. We are working on New Orleans. Somebody said, get the show started. I'm getting the show started, Brother Illusion. I'm getting it started, but people are asking questions about the movie, so I want to talk about the movie, hiddencolorsfilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, what's been happening in the news? I posted a video on my social media the other day. It was another Asian male store owner trying to gaffle up a couple of sisters. He got into a little fighting altercation and the sisters fought back. They were fighting back on his ass, and then, you know, they were fighting outside, and then some brothers in the neighborhood came and touched him up a little bit. And all the little mayonnaise supremacists and their little minions felt a certain way about it. They wanted to cry foul, like, oh, damn, why are you condoning violence? Let me tell y'all something. Y'all have no problem watching videos of black folks getting beat up, black women getting beat up. Y'all don't say nothing. When y'all see black folks fight back, then y'all want to start crying foul. Boo to the damn who. All right? Boo to the damn who. Your tears are delicious with crackers. Cheese and salty crackers and tears are so delicious. I don't want to hear no complaints. And also in this video, what's interesting, you know, a couple of brothers start touching up the Asian store owner because he was trying to gaffle up these sisters. And then some old Sambo popped out of nowhere. Like, oh, y'all don't do that now. Y'all leave him alone now. Y'all don't do that now. Some old Sambo, some elderly Negro came with his cape out, caping for the Asian store owner for beating up them sisters. Have y'all noticed something? Every time a black person is giving some other group that work, there's always some magic Negro that pops up out of nowhere trying to stop it. Y'all notice that? Every damn time some brothers and sisters are putting in old goons work, some Steven from Django Negro or Plantation Mammy pops out of nowhere caping. And what's interesting, when somebody black is getting beat up, where do these Negroes be? I never see these Negroes pop out of nowhere when another black person is getting beat up, or a black woman's getting beat up by an Asian person or a white person or whatever. I don't see the magic Negroes don't be nowhere. Them Negroes don't be nowhere. You don't see them nothing. Them black folks just sit up there and just get beat up, and all the magic Negro do is just pull out a camera and start yelling world star and giggling. But the minute an Asian person or white person gets some of that business, some of that work, they get a little piece of the action from some black person, all of a sudden, come on now, all lives matter now. We ain't gonna do that now. You goddamn Sambos. Y'all Negroes gotta go. Y'all don't sit around yelling no damn world star when it comes to them. Boy, y'all put the capes on. Y'all learn how to get the hell on code, man. Y'all Sambo Negroes. Y'all niggas are the worst, man. But I digress. Speaking of elderly black people, you know, the brother down in Atlanta was a 62-year-old black man. He got, he was killed by a suspected white supremacist female. The brother got into a little fender bender. The media is trying to lie and say this brother got into a hit and run. This brother got into a real minor fender bender. he stuck around. He didn't hit run. He was around for 20 minutes. They were chopping it up or whatever. What happened was he was an elderly brother. He's an old brother, so he started going to diabetic shock. So he was trying to get to his medicine. So he left, and then the suspected white supremacist started following him, initiated an altercation, start punching the brother, and then pulled out a gun and killed him, then lied, and then changed clothes and came up with this cockamamie story. They arrested her. Now, this mayonnaise supremacist got bail. They gave her $100,000 bail, and she's out now. So basically what they're doing now, family, they're starting to further incentivize white supremacists to run up on you and execute you. They're deputizing these white supremacists. This is why we do not use terms like police brutality. We don't use terms like police reform, because all the white supremacists are basically police, if that's the case. So I always put things in the context of white supremacy. And again, this is down there in Atlanta where this happened. This is why we got to start being serious. We got to keep our eyes open. Let's cut all that twerking out. Let's stop twerking for a minute and handle business and see who's harming us out here. Because this thing is getting real. We're going to have to protect ourselves at all costs. What we have to understand is that when a white supremacist comes up to you in an aggressive manner as a black person, because we're going to have to start doing things proactively. When these people run up on us just out the blue, very aggressively, assume that they're strapped and you neutralize the threat. You put them down, hold them down, get them in a position where they can't pull out a gat and ambush you. When they start coming up to you very aggressive, arguing and all this stuff, you better do anything you need to do in order to neutralize that threat, because you better assume that that person is strapped and they're trying to bait you into making a move so they can ambush, kill you. So you better assume that you're running up or you're dealing with some kind of Zimmerman, somebody who's trying to get some clout with other white supremacists by murdering you, because they know that the system has incentivized them and they're not going to really get punished. And as a matter of fact, we got to start again thinking in a warfare mindset. Understand, when a white supremacist harms you or they try to harm you, don't even worry about the court system. I say, black folks, the court system is done for us. Let's just keep it 100. I don't want to see no more black people standing outside of a courthouse crying. Just assume you're not going to get no justice in the courtroom. Just assume that. You're not. You're in a war. Let's just be real about what we're dealing with. See, once we get real about certain things, the solutions to protect ourselves and replace the system of white supremacy with justice will come through. We need to just forget about the so-called judicial system altogether. Forget about it. It's never going to help you. Not going to help you whatsoever. It is not going to help you. It's simply not going to help you. So don't be out there crying and, oh, Lord Jesus, what is this? Happen again. No. Just assume you're not going to get no courtroom justice. You understand? You just be on code. In your mind, you're on code. You're going to have to be the justice bringer. That's why we got to get on code. Black folks as a collective, we don't have a system to protect us. We don't. We've been sitting around being told that we have rights and black folks like to argue, oh, I got some rights. You don't. But all you got to do is get a code and you create your own rights so that people will not harm you if enough people get on code. So we got to start thinking with that mindset. Take the emotions out of it. We get all emotional and we act confused because we're waiting for the white supremacists to make a confession. They're never going to make a confession. The name of the game is to practice mistreatment and non-justice and pretend that they're not doing it. We got this thing where we're waiting on them to make a confession. Let's get that out of our system. Understand, you're in a system of white supremacy and warfare. Have that mindset whenever you interact with these folks. And when you go out the house, be ready. It's just that simple. But we got to take the emotions out of everything, first of all. You dig? And when we go into situations at the job, you better go in there understanding the system that you're in. That reminds me of that Jason Mitchell guy, the guy who's been blacklisted from Hollywood, the brother, the actor. He played Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton. He's in the show, The Shy. And, you know, they're further blacklisting this dude, and it sounds like they're going to try to get some kind of bogus charges on the guy. Now, what's interesting about this dude, there was video of him some while back. He was kind of low-key on the coon train. I wish I could find the video. Somebody sent it to me, and I can't find it, but he was on some stuff. Black folks need to stop complaining about this. Black folks need to stop tripping about racism. We are our worst enemy. He was on some of that. He was on some of that coon train talk. And a lot of black folks who sit up here and act confused and be on some what about black on black crime, y'all can act confused if you want to. A lot of black folks, what happens is you get in a certain position where you make a little money and the white folks get around you and they let you around them and you're like, man, I don't know what people talking about this racism, man. These white people are cool as hell. Man, maybe if black folks weren't so damn angry, they be in my position, man. Your ego starts talking. Your ego gets in the mix. So you get out here talking about, well, damn, all these white people good. Man, I done figured out racism. All we got to do is stop being so mad and learn how to accept and love everybody. We is equal with these people. They love me. They accept me. Let me tell you something, boy. Y'all walk in there with that mentality, you're a sitting duck. So what happened, what I think that happened with Jason Mitchell, he's on the show, and he's a heterosexual black male, number one. He didn't realize that he was already a threat going in. And basically sound like he was just trying to holler and probably flirt with some of the ladies. I don't think he did anything physically serious, like hem him up and try to, you know, I don't think, because if he did that, they would have arrested the guy and put some charges on him. But sounds like the dude was in there trying to holler, trying to flirt, trying to put his little bid in. And that's enough for them to blacklist you at this point. Because heterosexual black men, your presence is a threat. Your presence is a threat. Notice in Hollywood, who are the black men they like? They don't like no single, there are no single black playboys in Hollywood. Most of the men in Hollywood who are black are either moist or married, or both. They don't like no Hollywood black playboy. A dude who's going in these studios banging all these women and trying to put his bid in. They don't like that. There is no Hollywood playboy who's black. You dig? The closest is Michael B. Jordan. And you notice this dude is just surrounded with white women. And unfortunately, I hope they don't throw nothing on that brother. He has to kind of move a certain way. He got to be careful a little bit. You know, they keep him around the kind of the slutty white women, just like they did with Tiger Woods. They keep him around the slutty white women. You know, they don't mind that. But when you start getting with some of those actresses and people like that, then there's a problem. But the thing is with Jason, I think he was just in there trying to put his bid in, trying to get his flirt on, and then, you know, they went and threw him under the bus. And plus with the Lena chick, the chick who's the executive producer of the show The Shy, she's a stud. And that's another problem right there. She's a stud who's all clicked in with that Me Too crowd. And her being a stud and you being a heterosexual male, you're competition for her. So, of course, she ain't gonna like nobody trying to spit at them ladies on the set. That was a big mistake old dude made just right there. You should have known right there. When you have a stud who the white supremacists then put in the forefront, they made them the head Negro in charge. You got to really be on your P's and Q's. Now, you competition. You hollering at the chick she trying to holler at. Probably. Allegedly. Let me say it like that. So she definitely ain't going to like that. One of the players told me a long time ago, because back in the day, some of the studs would be kind of aggressive and be angry at the players. And the players would have to touch him up a little bit. Because some of those studs would try to get aggressive out here. And dudes don't really play like that. And one dude said, man, these studs, man, they don't like when players come in the room. Because when a player come in the room, before a player come in the room, they're the man. Before a player comes in the room, they are the man. But when a a real player comes through, they just become another ugly chick. The dude told me that a long time ago, a street cat. You dig? So again, Jason, he didn't understand how racism worked. And again, my man's in there, sound like he was just trying to do some heavy duty spitting. And as black men, when you go into some a deal like Hollywood, anywhere in Hollywood, you got to be on your P's and Q's. You got to be real cool. You got to be real low key. Even if the women are hella choosing, you still got to be low key about what you do, and you'll get down because, you know, the white supremacists are very insecure about black men who are straight coming into their circles. The white supremacists build institutions to have a leg up over black men. They're very insecure about black men. That's why when you go to these offices in any corporate situation where there's a black male, usually there's a black male running around switching. Those are the black males that they're comfortable with. You dig? So we got to understand the game out here. Because, see, a lot of times, man, black folks, we be out here acting like sitting ducks. See, we're trying to get into behavior, escapism behavior, Sambo behavior, bedwinching behavior. We're getting into a lot of behavior patterns that simply don't work. And sometimes the ancestors try to send a message. Let me show y'all a video. And for those who are listening on the radio or on the podcast audio play, you're not going to be able to see this, but all my YouTube people will be able to see this. There's a video that I posted on my Instagram of this bedwench. She had just gotten married to Zaddy. So they're out here skateboarding. It's a whole bunch of them skateboarding. And this woman bust her ass. She fell down. Let me see. Let me show y'all this. Let me show y'all the link real quick. Now, again, some of y'all might not be able to hear it, but if you're watching me live, you can see it. Okay, so the woman is skateboarding in a damn wedding dress. I want y'all to look at all these dudes around. There's no black people. Boom, she fell down. Okay, so she's skating. It's a slow motion. Notice there are no black people around. She is the only black person around. I want y'all to notice that in this picture or in this video. This fool is she's on a skateboard and she tripped and fell. She was skateboarding in her wedding dress. She's around a bunch of white and Asian men. Okay? She's around a bunch of white and Asian men. Let me put my music back on. Now, a couple of things I wanted y'all to notice in that video. Number one, she was around nothing but white men. That's very significant. And there were no black people around. And notice there were no women around either. I want y'all to catch that. There were no women, white or black, around. There were no women, white or black, around. The thing is, if she had black friends, a sister would have pulled her to the side and said, "Bitch, don't get out there skateboarding in your damn wedding dress, fool." A sister, a real sister, would have pulled her to the side. But you got to understand the mentality of a bedwench. Number one, a bedwench distances herself. She has to distance herself from other black people because that's what Zaddy requires. Zaddy requires her to distance herself from other black people. See, the thing is with the white supremacists, when they get with somebody, a black female, they like the exoticism of it. They like the novelty of it. But one thing they don't like the fact that she comes from black culture. So she has to go out of her way to show that she's not a part of black culture. So she can't be like a black person. She's supposed to really be a dark Caucasian, technically. Mentally, she has to be a Caucasian, so she can't associate with too many black people. This is why you see bedwinches talking all that dumb shit. This is why they work so hard against black society, so many of them. So she has to get into goofy, punk-ass behavior like that, skateboarding in a damn wedding dress. You know, the whitest shit ever. No black person around, not even her family. You don't even see her family around. And they're not going to have another black woman around. Again, this is why you be seeing them bedwinches with these janky-ass weaves and kitty perms. They don't know how to do their hair because they ain't around no sisters. Because number one, they don't want to be around no sisters, because sisters to them, that's competition. They know how freaky their zaddy is, and they know zaddy is going to want her too. So they don't want no other sister around. That's why these bedwinches don't really have no friends like that. They surround themselves around white dudes. That's why they be talking dumb shit. The Candace Owens of the world. She's surrounded by nothing but white dudes. And you're not around white women. Those are the last people that's going to hang around you. White women can't stand a damn bedwinch. White women hate bedwinches with everything in their being. So white women definitely ain't going to hang around you. White women hate bedwinches. They've been hating bedwinches since the plantation days. They used to kill sisters laying up with Massa. So white women, they don't like the fact that you boning Massa, because they know Massa like sex with you better than Becky. The only reason he keeps the white supremacist female around is to give birth to other white supremacists. But yeah, look at Candace Owens. With Candace Owens, with her little bedwinch and self, Tommy Lauren and all those women were going after her. They don't like her. All those Tommy Laurens and all those other white supremacist women, they can't stand Candace Owens. They can't stand her. And with these bedwinches, and even the white supremacist male, you notice they have to get into a lot of racial showcasing. They have to just do these goofy public displays like, look at what we're doing. Look at our relationship. We're breaking normal taboos. We're doing something different. We're doing something we ain't supposed to be doing. It's always some big attention type of thing. Look at us, look at us, look at us. Look at us. We're all skateboarding at our wedding reception. Look at us. Now, they don't care about this woman. Nobody's telling this woman to be safe. You shouldn't be on no damn skateboard. Now, if any black person was around her, they would have took her off that damn skateboard and said, bitch, get in this Uber so we can take the Uber to your wedding reception. You're not going to do that. Those dudes don't. And that's a metaphor. Those dudes don't give a damn about her or her safety. And that's the metaphor. That's what you gotta look forward to that. That's what you have to look forward to. And I have no pity for, by the way. I got zero pity for. See, a lot of these bedwinches now, see, they like to play with fire. And then when they get burned, they want to start looking at black society for help. You're not getting it from me. There was another case. And let me show this. Let me go back to my thing. And let me show this on my, while I'm talking. There's this bedwinch who was married to a white dude out there in Georgia. She's married to this white guy. Her name is Vandrina. I think that's her name. Vandrina, and her dude's name is Joel. And she has a GoFundMe page because her husband's family, they're harassing her. They filed some false charges on her because they don't like her. And they said that she threatened them, and then she got charged with making terroristic threats. They called her job and got her fired from her job. I mean, they're doing all types of stuff to harass her, and the police out there where she lives, they're all on code with the white supremacist family, so they're terrorizing her. So this woman faces like 22 years in jail for making terroristic threats and all this. So the court system, they're all on code with the white supremacists that's going against her. So she's up here trying to get sympathy, trying to get a GoFundMe page to pay for a lawyer. And yo, dude, I mean, this woman might go to jail for this goofy zaddy. This woman might go to jail for this goofy ass zaddy. And he ain't checking his family. He ain't doing nothing to stop his family. He's the one who's supposed to be doing that. See, the thing is, black folks, y'all got to understand with all this little racial showcasing y'all be doing out here with your Zaddy and your Becky, they'll lay up with you. But again, they're not going to do anything that's going to dismantle systematic white supremacy. They understand the importance of white supremacy and all the benefits that come with that. There's benefits that come with white supremacy. And you think you're going to run away from blackness and click up with them. If that worked, they would have done that back in the plantation days. It didn't work then, and it doesn't work now. We got to stop doing stuff that don't work. But black folks get into this whole racial showcasing thing. Everything has to be about attention that you're not going to get. Well, no, nobody really cares except other swirlers. Notice with all these swirlers, what they do, they start dating each other, and then they start making all these YouTube channels. You know how many YouTube channels there are of these interracial couples? Hey, look at us. We're going to make a channel talking about life in an interracial relationship. There's dozens and dozens of YouTube channels dedicated to these people showcasing their interracial relationship. Nobody gives a damn. It's slavery again. You showcasing your bedwinching. You're just showcasing you have a plantation wench. And these dudes out here, you're showcasing your Beckys. I mean, you're just a big plantation buck. See, we don't want to get on code. We think getting attention is on code. The code of attention. Because of attention starvation. We've been ignored so long by the dominant society because they control the resources, they control the media. We are starved for attention. So black folks get into a situation where we will do any damn thing to get some attention. We'll do anything to get attention. And that's been a major problem with black society. We say dumb shit to get attention, especially online. Every time we're trying to have a conversation about getting on code, somebody jumps in with an attention conversation, just like with this R. Kelly thing. They put more charges on R. Kelly, and we've been talking publicly about how the R. Kelly thing, that's something that black folks don't need to co-sign, because that's maintaining the two-tiered system of non-justice. And there's Negroes who still trying to get attention, but R. Kelly had did that. Don't matter. Either you treat him like you treat all the other white predators. We're going to treat all predators equal. Either let them all go or punish all of them. But all this picking and choosing based on race, I'm not doing that. Well, you're trying to protect R. Kelly. You're trying to protect white daddy. We got to get on code with this thing. And Negroes who ain't getting on code, because you want to be contrary for attention, y'all Negroes are going to have to go. You Negroes are going to have to go. I'm not going to reiterate a two-tiered system, because if you co-sign one part of it, you're giving strength to all of it. We can't give strength to none of it. The two-tiered system of racial justice, it has to be dismantled. So all these Negroes running around, R. Kelly need to get this. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't helping nothing. You're not even on code. Them first. First them. You don't let them sit up and tell us who we need to attack if they're black and they're giving all these white dudes a pass. If you're giving them a pass, give everybody a damn pass. But R. Kelly here did it. Don't matter. That's the reason we have this damn non-justice system, and it's been trotting along for so long because we help perpetuate it. You either free them all or punish them all. But we're not going to be little de facto white supremacist minions co-signing the racial non-justice system. It's just that simple. And I don't give a damn about nobody's shaming tactics. I don't give a damn about that at all. But because we don't get on code, other groups, they come and they co-opt things from us. Other groups come along and they co-opt things, especially the white LGBT community, and I've been going in on them for a minute. The white LGBT community, they put up something the other day where they're going to create some kind of monument, some LGBT monument to a black transsexual and a white transsexual who was a part of something called the Stonewall Riots that happened in 1969. Have y'all heard about that? There was an incident called the Stonewall Riots that happened in New York in 1969, and that incident basically kicked off the modern LGBT movement. And what they're doing, they're talking about creating some kind of monument for that, because what they're doing, they're trying to make it seem like the white LGBT community is some type of civil rights pioneers. They're trying to compare them to black people in the civil rights movement. And that's disrespectful as hell. This is why they're trying to gut the Civil Rights Act and make all the civil rights laws for the white LGBT community. And just because they'll trot out a black mascot, don't be fooled by that. They always have to get a black person and a white person right next to them. They'll get a black person and a white person right next to them. So they'll have the black, because they know that black people, we've received non-justice, so they have to get a black face. And they'll Trojan horse the white person and the whole white LGBT community in after that one black mascot. But the thing is, a lot of folks don't even know the truth about the Stonewall riots. And again, the white media, you know, they're treating this like it was the damn gay Selma. They're treating this thing like it was the gay march on Washington. They keep making these civil rights comparisons to the Stonewall riots. And a lot of the stuff they talk about as far as the Stonewall riots is embellished. Number one, a lot of folks are saying that it wasn't really a riot. It was like a little skirmish they had with police. And a couple of folks got arrested. So it wasn't no big all-out riot, first of all. Second of all, the Stonewall incident, it was based on a place in New York called the Stonewall Inn, which was a gay club. And this club kept getting raided. And what they're trying to make it seem like, they just kept getting raided because of homophobia. They weren't letting the gay community be themselves. And they're trying to create a false narrative that they were getting raided because of bigotry. Like black folks. See, black folks, see how black folks are getting beat up by the police because of bigotry? They were doing the same thing to us with the Stonewall at the Stonewall Inn. That's not true. The Stonewall Inn was a gay club that was owned by the damn mafia. The Genovese family owned that place. And remember, in New York, all my New Yorkers, if you're old enough, the mafia owned a lot of the gay bars and businesses in the late 60s, early 70s. They owned a lot of movie theaters. The mafia was running New York big time. The mafia owned a lot of property in New York. They owned all those strip joints, those peep shows, adult stores, X-rated movie theaters. So the Stonewall Inn was basically a gay prostitution den. They were in there with selling drugs, and the mafia was in there funneling money. It was a big crime den. That's why it kept getting raided. And they were bribing cops, and they didn't have a liquor license. So everything in that place was illegal. They were doing any and everything in this place, committing all types of crimes. That's why it was getting raided. So they don't tell you that. Nobody's putting that together. It wasn't like black folks where we're just trying to go to damn school. We're getting beat up by police and water hoses. We're trying to drink from a damn water fountain and we're getting beat up. It wasn't like we're just trying to do everyday stuff. We weren't committing crimes, but we were getting beat up because of our color. Those dudes were in there selling bussy, drugs, doing any and everything. So, yeah, the police came in because it was a goddamn crime den. Everything in there was illegal. So, yeah, they kept getting raided. And also, from what I understand, the Stonewall Inn, that place was racially segregated. They had a little segment in there for the white dudes, for the more masculine white dudes, because a lot of white dudes would go in there who were married and get them some white bussy and all this old stuff. And then they had another section where the black and the some of the other people would kind of slum around, and the white folks would come slum around with some of the black folks. So that place was even racially segregated, and as were many other gay clubs in New York. The Mafia owned a lot of gay clubs in New York, and they had black gay clubs, and they were all racially segregated. So again, they're not telling you everything that's going on with this thing. So from what I understand, I think they started to, they raided it one night, and they were a little bit rough with some of the non-white patrons. And then one of the black trannies threw a brick or something, and then that kind of started the quote-unquote riot. And that's what it is right there. So they're trying to make it seem like, you know, this was some big old Edmund Pettus Bridge thing, and it wasn't. These dudes were getting called out, and rightfully so. People are coming in there busting up a damn illegal gambling drug prostitution den. So, yeah. So, again, what they wanted the right to do illegal stuff just like the straight white people. That's basically what they wanted to do. And, again, they've done a couple of movies about the Stonewall riot, and a lot of gay black people were upset about it because they whitewashed it. They embellish, they lie, they create fake stories around it, and a lot of black people are very upset with the story about the way they portray it in the media. They really whitewash it, and they don't talk about the black people who were really behind a lot of the stuff. And again, the white gay community, they have the same level of racism. They've always had that same level of racism. And again, they've always co-opted stuff from black folks. Even the rainbow, the whole rainbow flag, you know, that was created in 1978. The rainbow flag, them associating the rainbow with gay pride. It was a white dude named Gilbert Baker who created the flag in 1978, the whole rainbow thing. And you know where they got that from? They got that from Fred Hampton and the Black Panthers. See, the whole Rainbow Coalition, see, some folks thought that Jesse Jackson created the Rainbow Coalition, but really, it was Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton from the Black Panthers, they had something called the Rainbow Coalition. Because, you know, they had the black, and that was when a lot of black folks were inviting the Latino folks in and all that old stuff, and that was a big mistake that a lot of black people made. We tried to bring in all these other groups. We thought, okay, look, we're oppressed, so we're going to get all the other oppressed people, and we're going to have a rainbow coalition. But the rainbow coalition started with Fred Hampton. Y'all look that up. Now, Jesse Jackson in the 80s, he meshed the Rainbow Coalition and Operation Rainbow Push and all that stuff together. So a lot of those people take credit for it, but they got that from the Black Panthers, man. They've always gotten stuff from us. They've always gotten stuff from us. You dig? So we got to understand the game and understand these people when they come in and try to co-opt stuff from us, and then also try to act like representatives for us. Just like one of the chicks from Black Lives Matter, that girl Alicia Garza, she was one of the quote unquote founders of Black Lives Matter, or basically one of the people that was propped up. And she wrote something for the New York Times talking about what black people want, what black people need about reparations, and we. And she start talking that LGBT stuff because she's married to a woman who's a transsexual man, something. And number one, Alicia Garza, she's not even a foundational black American fully. Her father was white. And again, you notice they get these people. And also, Alicia, she admitted that she didn't really grow up around black folks. She went to a white school, a predominantly white school. And notice how they get black people who culturally do not associate or grew up not associating with other black people, and they prop them up and make them the spokespersons for black American society. I want y'all to notice that. Please don't miss that. They always get these Negroes who culturally black folks don't even mess with because they've never been around black folks like that. But then all of a sudden they get to be the damn thought leaders according to the media. They'll push them out and say, okay, this person is the spokesperson for black society. Luckily, we're rejecting that, and we got enough sense to reject that because we have alternative media sources now, mainly us. You dig? We got to watch out for folks like that. And we got to be all the way on code. Now, let me get to this video that I posted early. I posted this video on my Instagram, and it went viral. They're talking about it all. They're talking about it all over the net now. This is more of that attention starvation thing that too many black folks have, and we're going to have to get this thing out of our system. Now, this is the video of a kid's graduation. A black kid graduated from high school, and his mama showed up in a tight yellow mustard, I don't know what kind of outfit this is. You guys are looking at it, but she got her big ass squeezed in this outfit, which was already too much. But again, we're desperate for attention. Let me put on the loudest thing I can put on to go to my child's graduation. Let me make a big spectacle of myself just by my outfit alone. That's what she was thinking. So she goes in this big yellow outfit to her son's graduation. And a lot of black parents, you know, a lot of schools complain about black parents sitting up here yelling and hooping and hollering because, you know, truth be told, there's a lot of black folks who try to use that as a way to get attention. And then some black folks just take it to the next level. Some black folks got to take it to the next level. And let's be real, a lot of us will use situations like this to bring attention to ourselves. A lot of these Negro parents will do that. That's something you're going to have to cut out. Now, let me play this video of this woman real quickly so y'all can see this hot mess. So they announced this name, and boy, it was showtime for her. She was ready. So this is this dude's mom after they called his name, and she got busy. Hold on. Trayvion. Now here she go. She jumps out there, popping her big jolly ass and gut. There she go. And other hood rats egging her on. Look at her. The security trying to pull her away. She's popping it some more. Okay. All right. Okay. That's enough. Hold on. Okay. Oh, come on, goddammit. Let me stop this. Okay. Somebody's mammy out here using her son's graduation as an opportunity to get her ass out there. She hasn't had no attention in years. Folks don't notice her. She walks around. Look, nobody's paying attention to her. Nobody's checking for her. So she waited for this. With all these people, there's going to be a few hundred people there. She knew they were going to be there. Her son is going to get some temporary shine, so she's going to use that to parlay some shine for her ass. Little Trayvion. And Trayvion, I hope you do well in life getting out that damn house. My brother, get out there. I can imagine what goes on in that house with your thought mammy out here showing out. Just walking into the stereotypes of the sexually undisciplined Jezebel that the white supremacists created. They created that. Put the stereotypes down and stop walking into the damn stereotypes. Just a big plantation mammy. No decorum. Don't worry about embarrassing your damn son. Me, me, me. I get me some damn attention. It's all about me. It's a lot of these Negroes from that generation. These Negroes made everything all about them. Damn the kids, I want my joy. That generation, a lot of Negroes, and I grew up around a lot of them, in that generation, I gotta do me. Everything is about pleasure, fun, and turn up. I gotta do me. What about my joy? You understand? I want to twerk. I want to get out here and smoke some crack and let my mama raise my kids. That generation. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all were raised or semi-raised by these former crackheads. These plantation thoughts who got 5-6 niggas they ain't got babies by. I mean, y'all were raised by some of them. Y'all were raised by some of them. So y'all know what I'm talking about. You dig? These Negroes are the major ones who are off code. These are the people that you see getting beat up at the beauty salons. These are the people who get beat up at the Asian shops. Just completely unaware, completely running around trying to have plantation fun, walking right into danger. Notice when somebody gets beat up by a race soldier, somebody gets beat up in a shop somewhere, they look like this. You just walk into the danger, you're completely oblivious because everything is about turning up, having fun. Let me get me some temporary attention. Let me get some superficial shine because that's all that matters in life. Travion, my dude, reach out to me so I can give you guidance. You can tell there was no father in the home with this. You can tell there was no father in the home with this right here. Somebody who's willing to make a goddamn spectacle of themselves around all those children who are trying to do better. See, the thing is, this wayward mammy is trying to spread her filth to all the potential leaders in black society. See, misery loves company. Misery loves company. And a lot of these, this is what I really don't like about situations like this. You have a lot of these older Negroes who need to be giving up that game to the younger folks. And instead of guiding them or saying, hey, I'm ratchet, so don't be like me. It's like, no, look at me. Won't you be like this? See, back in the day, when the gangsters and the folks who was in the streets doing stuff they weren't, well, I won't say weren't supposed to be doing, but doing dangerous activities, at least they had the decorum to say to the younger people, hey man, you don't need to be out here, bro. You see how I'm getting down, man? I don't want you getting down like I'm getting down, man. I want you to do the opposite of what I'm doing. At least the OGs had enough sense to do that back in the day. Back in the day. A lot of the street cats really didn't want a lot of younger folks falling into that type of lifestyle. You dig? But now you got folks who just encourage that. They try to throw that garbage on their children. See, we got that woman right here in the video. She's from that whole Tokyo Tony crowd. You know, these old thought mammies. You got grown kids, your kids are grown, and you still out here trying to get attention. You over the hill, but you still trying to twerk with your cellulite and your goddamn gut. You still trying to hold on to some thought attention because you didn't learn no game in the streets. You out here probably some with slanging it. You're probably into street activities. You didn't learn no game. You didn't get nothing out the streets. You only got twos and fews. All you know is ho shit. All you know is dusty shit. All you know what to do is just bend over and start popping it. That's all you know. You don't know how to think and use your brain to get whatever you need. You think, okay, I need something tangible, or if I just need attention, I have to bend over. This is all I know. This is plantation stuff right here. This is plantation stuff. Where are my mods in the room? I got some white supremacists in my room right now trolling. Do I have any mods in the house? I'm doing the show on Friday. My mods might be at the club right now with the woman in the yellow outfit. My mods might be at the club with the woman in the yellow outfit right now. I don't know where my mods are, but they're doing a lot of my chat room over here. But it's okay. You dig? My mods need to come through. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, people like this desperate for attention garbage, that's some stuff that we're going to have to learn how to get out of black society. We've made this a part of black culture, this thing where we'll do anything for attention, this thing where black folks will make an ass out of themselves, literally, to get some superficial shine. This is a cancer that we got to get out of black society. I want to act a damn fool so I can be seen. I'm just so damn desperate to be seen. The only thing that matters is for me to be seen. Not for what I built, not for what I've created. Just as long as I'm being looked at. That's good enough for me. I can sleep good at night knowing that I did something where everybody looked at me. That means I matter. Because I'm invisible in a system of racism. Nobody pays attention to me. Nobody loves me. You know, that the system of white supremacy creates that void. This whole thing where we're just constantly looking for some damn love. That's what that's about. That's that. That's an orphan mentality. It's a shame. And we got to get off that. We got to get off that childlike mentality. Especially trying to milk attention from our kids. Again, going back to Tokyo Toni. She's always doing videos talking about Black China and all that. She's trying to milk attention off her kid. Because she failed. She's an old, washed up failure. So you want to try to spread your cancer, but you want to still shine. You want to glom some shine off your kids. We got to get off that. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get ready to get out of here. And by the way, another thing before I go, you know, a lot of folks were talking about these cases. There was another video, this race soldier who was trying to kill this brother the other day. This race soldier was trying to get this brother to turn his car off, and then the white supremacist race soldier yelled out, "Oh, gun, he got a gun." So he was trying to justify killing this brother, giving conflicting commands. So that's another thing we got to watch out for, those conflicting commands. And also another thing, the white supremacists who support this stuff, they're always going to justify black folks getting killed. And there's a reason why these race soldiers give conflicting commands. They'll say, turn your car off and keep your hands up. They'll say something like that. So you don't know what to do. So whatever you do, they're going to kill you. If you keep your hands up and don't move, they'll say, okay, well, I have to shoot him because he didn't follow my command. So they give deliberately conflicting commands so that they can justify killing you either way, no matter what you do. And the white supremacist supporters will be like, well, damn, it ain't about race. All you had to do was if you complied, you wouldn't have got killed. You got to learn how to comply. Whenever you hear a white supremacist say that, they're just justifying racialized murders. See, we got to start thinking in terms of getting rid of the whole system of white supremacy. Because these cowardly ambushes that they're doing, we can keep track of all of them, but now we got to get rid of the whole system of white supremacy. And when you see white supremacists running around talking about how brave the officers are, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing brave about them going around doing ambush murders. That's what they're doing. That's all they're doing. They're just going around doing ambush murders. That's the most cowardly thing you can do. Unless you are a powerless person. If you're you're already a person in power. You got the entire United States military backing you up. That's what the police has. So you're already in a position of power. So go around and you going around knowing that you're in a position of power and you're doing ambush killings, that's cowardly. The only time an ambush killing is justified is when you are a powerless person. Then an ambush killing is justified because you have no other option. But there's nothing courageous about ambush killing unsuspecting black folks. So understand that. And what we got to do, family, this is what black folks have to understand. And again, we got to start being proactive about certain things. Shout out to Eyewitness. He said he got his LA tickets for HC5. Much respect. Black folks, this is what we're going to have to start doing. Number one, you better understand, you are taxpayers. We got to stop letting people make us the others. We pay taxes. So the police, their salary is paid by us. We pay these people's salaries. We should not allow these people to run around our neighborhoods in secret, doing God knows what. We don't know who they are. We're paying their salaries. They go around demanding we identify ourselves, but we don't know who they are. We pay their salary. We pay their salary. We deserve to know who they are. Black people around the country, you need to get to know the police officers in your communities. What black people need to do, you need to go to your police stations and just look up all the police officers and just look up and see who they are and research them. I ain't talking about after the fact. We need to be doing this on a daily basis. Whoever's policing your neighborhood, you need to look them up. You need to have their information so that you can look and see who's affiliated with any kind of white supremacist group so that you can possibly file lawsuits or whatever. You need to know who they are. That's going to be 50% of the battle right there. You have to look them up and find out who they are. So when they come around, at least you'll be a little bit familiar. Every black person in the country, you need to be, and I'm talking about starting tonight, you need to be looking up all the police officers who police and patrol your area and your community. That's your community, black folks. Let's stop the dumb shit. This is your land. This is your community. We got to own that. We got to stop walking around on damn eggshells. See who the hell is policing us. Because that's where they get there. They're running around like the damn Gestapo, this secret police garbage. We're going to have to cut that out, and we got the power to do that. We don't have to let these people run around like the secret police. They go around ambushing people, and then the damn police unions are hiding the folks. We don't even know who they are, and they can just run around and kill us, and we don't know nothing? No. Get to know the police in your area. That's the homework assignment. And I'm saying this ain't nefarious. This ain't nothing to sneak around with. White people know who the damn police are. They're their friends. Other people know who the police are in their neighborhoods. They're very well versed at who's policing them. Like I was talking earlier about the mafia. When the mafia was running stuff in New York, they know who the police were. They know them by name. Hell, they were bribing them and paying them off. Other groups know who the police are. They research them. They know who they are. We don't. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to know who the people we're paying their damn salary as taxpayers. We need to know who the police are. We need to research them proactively before they do anything. So if something funny style happens, we see that they're connected with some kind of racial group, we'll already have information about that so that we can protect our children. Let's stop being so damn reactive. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with finding out who's the people patrolling your neighborhood. I do that, and they know I do it. I research these race soldiers and police officers, or potential race soldiers, people who look funny style, who's working for law enforcement. I research them, and I make no bones about it. When them white supremacists sent them folks up in my house, I'm researching cops left and right, and I call them, asking them about their officers. They know. That's why I can say this publicly. This ain't nothing wrong. They know. I call them asking, hey, what's up with your guy right here? This guy works for you. Okay, what's up with him? I'm looking at some of his online activity, and I got some questions. Don't be afraid. Fuck that. We got to stop this scared business and start taking control of our neighborhoods and our areas, and that means keeping the white supremacists in check. We're paying the folks to come kill us. Nah. Yes, I do, May. Yes, I do. I research them. And I ask questions. Let me tell you something about me. Anybody who comes to my house, especially from the dominances, I research their ass. Especially people who's going to be doing any kind of work on my house. But when I see people, especially when they ran up in my house, I'm doing research. I want to know who's who. I want to know who's who. Who you got the power to come up in my house? I want to know who the hell you are. Because you done ran up in my house on my dime. All the taxes I pay. I want to know who you are. And you better know who these damn police unions are too. I'm watching them. And if you're doing a good job, I'll commend you. That's what we're supposed to do. We're running around acting like hostages. No, we're supposed to look into them and see who the hell they are and know them by name. Some of these folks, when I look them up, like the dude, the race soldier who hemmed the brother up and put the gun on him and was trying to get the brother to make a move. I looked this guy up. His Facebook page is full of white supremacist garbage. This dude shouldn't be a cop nowhere in America. We need to know about people like that. So when we see them, we already know what the deal is. We research these folks, and if we see them hanging out with the Proud Boys or them going to some kind of alt-right meeting or they got some kind of crazy tattoos, no. Will they run up on me? Nope. Call your damn supervisor. Nope, I'm filing a civil suit on this dude right here. Nope, I don't want him policing me. Nope. You better use your power. We got to be proactive out here. Black folks, you pay taxes. You pay too many damn taxes. They done took too much money out your damn check to pay these folks off for you not to have any control over how you interact with them. That's something that you can do that they can't control. Nobody can stop you from looking these folks up. You understand? See, the thing is, when you look folks up and you see they've already engaged in nefarious activity and you document it, see, this is when you start documenting stuff. So when they do something slick, you'll already have a record on them. You will have a record on them. You will have a record on them. You will be able to share information saying, hey, wait a minute. We looked this dude up 2 or 3 months ago and we saw that he was at some kind of alt-right rally. This guy right here is funny. He's been funny style. So now you can set a precedent for lawsuits, all that stuff, if people are being funny style. We got to be proactive and let's stop being scared. Look these folks up every day in your community, whoever they are. Look and see who's policing your neighborhoods. So yeah, we allow these people to be all mysterious and they show up and we don't know nothing. We don't know absolutely nothing about these damn people. You dig? We know nothing about these folks. And again, some of them might be cool as hell. Some might be good, which is cool. We like to get to know the cool ones. We need to get to know them as a community. We went to the other day. Not the other day, but a couple of years ago, where I live in the valley, the police had like some little carnival at a park. I took the kids. Hell, that's cool. I pay taxes. They using my tax dollars for the carnival. So yeah, I took the kids. And as a matter of fact, the police were at my kid's school. They had like some kind of thing where the kids were petting the police dog and they got to sit in the police car. I wasn't too crazy about that, but my kids came home with like some police coloring books and all that. And when they get older, I got to explain, you know, all of these folks ain't your friend. That's why I'm getting to know them. That's why I'm getting to know them, because hell, these police officers are at my school, at my kid's school, letting them pet police dogs. Hell, I want to know who they are. I want to know who they are. And there's nothing wrong with that. You dig? Hell yeah, 50 Cent was doing that with the police out there in New York. Shout out to him. Get to know who they are, man. We're not going to let these folks run around in secret. If you got to run around in secret, you're doing some stuff you ain't supposed to be damn doing. If you got to run around in secret and then you got to hide who these people are, you're doing some shit you ain't supposed to damn do. And I'm not talking about them getting a PR police officer. You know, they'll get one promotional police officer and have them go out there jump rope in the hood. No, we're not going to do that. See, that's the game that we fall for. They get that one cop and he go out there and start doing the Dougie and all that. No, all y'all better bring your ass out here and do the Dougie, because I'm looking up who all of you are. So y'all better get a whole little police soul train line, because all of you going to have to do some dancing, because I'm getting to know all of you. You dig? But anyway, man, I digress, man. Great show. We had a good conversation tonight. Don't forget, man, Hidden Colors Films in theaters August 1st. Get your tickets right now. HiddenColorsFilm.com. Y'all better get y'all tickets early. You know it's going to be sold out. Look up HiddenColorsFilm.com. Find the city near you. We're adding a couple of more cities next week. New York, the tickets aren't on sale in New York yet, but the tickets are coming. We're going to have the tickets on sale for New York. New York is going to definitely sell out. We're going to have a lot of screenings the Friday and that Thursday, I think. Again, we're still working on another theater in New York. L.A., the premiere is going to be in L.A. July 31st at the Aria Fine Arts Theater, the big Hollywood premiere. It's going to be star-studded. Everybody's going to be there. Get your tickets now, HiddenColorsFilm.com. I cannot wait for you to see Hidden Colors 5. It is a masterpiece. You're going to love it. It's going to change the game. And anyway, go to TariqElite.com. Go check out the gear, the clothes at TariqElite.com. We're going to have some Hidden Colors 5 shirts. Probably this weekend, we'll have some Hidden Colors 5 t-shirts on sale. So y'all rock your shirts to the premiere. Do whatever you need to do. Anyway, y'all, I'm out of here.